and the ritual begin. Preserving tradition when advanced technologies invading millennial generation is not easy. However, the awareness of Dieng people on the value of their tradition proves that tradition can coexist with modernization.
Bikin romantis, bikin paling romantis.
Sambil bermain mata, turun ke hati, hatinya jatuh.
Kita bikin romantis, yang paling romantis.
Sambil gandeng tangan, hati pelukan di angan syajah.
Awan ikut menari-nari
romantis
sambil merayu, lupakan ada waktu. Angin
here's the news. The United Nations Population Fund has said that Indonesians want large families but are deciding to have fewer children due to the challenging economic and social climate in the country. More than 77% of Indonesian men and women want to have several kids. UNFPA Indonesia representative Hassan Mohsami pointed out here on Thursday. Indonesia's Youth and Sports Minister Dito Aryo Tejo has said that national athletes are currently undergoing intensive and centralized training, which will last until August 2025 for this year's SEA Games in Thailand. He conveyed this on the sidelines of his visit to Padang, West Sumatra on Thursday, where his visit also scheduled to attend the inauguration of the board of West Sumatra's Indonesian Pencaksilat Association. And that was the news.
Thank you.
rasa gelap berjatuh. Di ujung malam menuju pagi yang dingin, hanya ada sedikit bintang malam ini. Mungkin karena kau sedang cantik-cantiknya. Lalu mataku merasa malu, semakin dalam ia malu kali ini. Kadang juga ia takut, tatkala harus berpapasan di tengah pelariannya.
Of Indonesia. listener going to culinary tour to Banyuwangi, East Java, you should come to Wit-Witan Market, the traditional market which becomes one of favorite places in Banyuwangi. Is located at Alas Malang Village, Singojuru Sub District, Banyuwangi. The market opens every Sunday morning, starting from 6 until 10 a.m. local time. Under the shady tree, you can enjoy various traditional culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as Geseng Bangsong. Geseng Bangsong is a typical food of Wijenan Kidul Hamlet, Singolatren Village, Singojuru Sub District. Geseng Bangsong is a special menu and rarely found, which is made from duck meat as its main ingredient and wadung yang leaf that adds a unique sour taste. Wadung tree is many found and growing wild at the village. Besides giving sour taste, wadung leaf is also used to remove fishy smell from duck meat. The duck must be the big one, so it is usually used male duck for cooking geseng bangsong. Besides wudong yang leaf, this culinary is also cooked with other spices such as cayenne, onion, and garlic. Geseng Bangsong has savory and spicy taste. Spicy taste mixed with sour taste certainly produce delicious food. In Banyuwangi, the food is usually served when Islamic events being conducted, such as the birth of Prophet Muhammad, Eid al-Fitr, and Eid Adha. But now, Geseng Bangsong can be found at Wit-Witan Market every Sunday. The price of the food is affordable, which is around 20,000 rupiahs to 25,000 rupiahs per portion. In addition to taste Geseng Bangsong, you can also enjoy other typical culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as rawon alas, sego cawu, as well as traditional snake, such as tiwul and gatot, which is made from cassava. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. I'm Purisa Pradela. Thank you for listening.
Listeners, in today's edition of Music Corner, we present a keroncong song called Hati Yang Terluka or Broken Heart by Keroncong Biru. The song popularized by Bruri Marantika was released in 1999. The song created by Arianto tells the story of the destruction of love due to being hurt by someone you love. The song lyrics vividly depict the pain that one experiences when the expected love doesn't materialize. The song also creates a powerful image of loss and longing. Listeners can feel the depth of the hurt with each verse recounting a grueling emotional journey. Well, listener, here is Keroncong Biru with the song Hati Yang Terluka. Happy listening.
Darimu, ku
Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voy listener, as we know, to show that Indonesia has lots and lots of beautiful places to visit, but even though it's beautiful, we must always stay safe during our travel. And in this special episode of Indonesia Today, as we all know, Indonesia is famous for its natural beauty, from volcanic peaks to tropical trails. But with great adventures comes also a great responsibility for the teams that handles the visitor who came to visit. As the tourism recovers and more foreign visitors return to Indonesia, the safety of tourists, especially in remote destinations, have become a national priority, where a recent tragedy invoking a Brazilian hiker on Mount Rinjani has sparked renewed urgency in ensuring our tourist sites are not just beautiful, but also safe. So, how does Indonesia respond when things is spiraling up? Of course, how do tourism officials and rescue teams prepare for the unexpected? Right now, I'm not alone. I am accompanied by the two of amazing people from Basarnas and the Minister Advisor on Crisis Management. We have Mr. Ikadek Dedi Karyadi. He's the Junior Search and Rescue Management Specialist at Basarnas, and also Mr. Fajar Utomo, the Tourism Minister's Advisor on Crisis Management. How are you today?
Good morning.
Morning, Mas Ray. Good morning, Brigade.
Morning, Fajar.
Okay, so without any further ado, let's begin. But first, I would like to ask about the safety, about tourism first, actually, on how the ministry prepares safety for the people who comes to visit to Indonesia. Is there a specific way that they need to find and do before traveling in Indonesia? Pak Fajar.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Mas Ray, for the question. Of course, we prioritize and do the risk assessment. The Ministry of Tourism already has released the announcement letter in every special occasion, like this one in peak season of the tourism on the school vacation, and then for Christmas, and of course for Eid al-Fitri, a long holiday season. We have released the announcement letter for the destination management, for the tourism attraction management to do the risk assessment. And we also put the attention on the infrastructure upgrades and strict safety protocols. We have a set of standard of four competencies, or in Indonesian we call it SKKNI, Standard National Competency Kerja Nasional Indonesia, for especially for mountaineering activities. We also have a set of business standard for tourism businesses related with the nature based destination, regarding with work health, safety and environment friendly protocol, released by both of Ministry of Forestry and Ministry of Tourism. We are also working together in collaborative governance with multi-sector partners such as Basarnas, or our National SAR, and BNPB, National Agency for Disaster Countermeasure, Ministry of Forestry, Ministry of Transportation, BMKG as well, for our National Weather Monitoring Agency, then Ministry of Internal Affairs, every municipal government. We do a lot in collaborative governance way to deliver this arrangement for safety environment in tourism.
I see. But as I can see, and what you've just mentioned before, so Pak Fajar and Pak Kadek have met each other before this, right? Have they like collaborated? And where did you first like do your first meeting together?
Yeah, for me, I think I severally meet with Pak Kadek on the any events related with the Basarnas for mitigation and preparedness. I think we met on, I have visited the headquarters of Basarnas, of course, in Kemayoran, and then I also have visited the Basarnas event for Jamboree SAR National in Borobudur. That's right, Pak Kadek, yeah?
Yes. Also, last year we have activity in Labuan Bajo to develop awareness in Labuan Bajo.
Yeah, we have a simulation program in 2022, I think, for disaster readiness in Labuan Bajo for marine tourism.
Okay, that is really interesting. And as you guys know, for a listener, as we've heard before as well, that the Basarnas and also the Crisis Management Tourism Minister also prepare and met several times before to discuss and do safety measures, especially training together for the safety of Indonesia. And I would like to ask Pak Kadek, from the rescuer side, what's the typical reality on the ground when an emergency happens, like in remote areas or like you say, mountains, sea, is there? Is it the Basarnas always come prepared for every time that it's happened, even though it's sometimes unusually unexpected, especially for the people to come and visit during their free time?
Thank you, Mr. Ray. First, I would like to tell you to begin with the about the Basarnas. Basarnas is a non-ministerial government agency that mandate to conduct search and rescue operation in Indonesia, covering aviation and also maritime accident, natural disaster, and also various life threatening situation such as individuals swept away through strong current in the river, in the coastal, lost in forest, lost in mountain, or trapped in remote or hazardous environment. That's our duty, Basarnas. And to ensure a rapid and effective response, we have developed a nationwide SAR infrastructure consisting establishment of 43 SAR offices around the Indonesia territories and also waters. Also, we established at least 91 SAR posts, enabling us to reach both urban center and also remote areas, including national park and mountainous region like Mount Rinjani. And regarding the recent incident in Mount Rinjani, which fall in other operational area of the Mataram SAR office, we received emergency from Mount Rinjani National Park. We acted with our SOP and immediately appoint of the head of SAR office. We have a 40 SAR office, and that location in Rinjani is Mataram SAR office to as the search and rescue mission coordinator. And the SMC promptly deploy a rescue team for the nearest. We have SAR post in Kayangan and coordinate closely with the local resources, including ranger, porter, who possess essential knowledge the terrain. This collaboration effort is crucial in informing the challenge of the remote area, ensuring both speed and safety during the mission observation.
Okay, thank you so much for your answer. So I would like to ask the both of you, can you tell us, the audience here, on it seems that both of you work really closely, especially across the ministry, but can you explain to us how coordination happens during a rescue mission? Usually, is there a clear standard protocol for both the ministry and the Basarnas team to do and collaborate? Is there a meeting before they take actions? Sure, whoever wants to answer first.
Okay, maybe please.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your question. Basarnas is, like I mentioned before, we mandate to carry out search and rescue operation. And we does not work alone. We collaborate closely with various ministries and agencies, both national and local level. As we know, Indonesia has a wide range of natural tourism destinations, from marine attractions to mountainous areas, and each possess its own safety challenge. Therefore, coordination is essential. This must take note. This coordination is essential. We work together with the Ministry of Tourism, Ministry of Forestry, Ministry of Marine Affairs and Fishery, and also Ministry of Transportation. And when the foreign national are involved, we also coordinate with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in accordance with our specific SOP. For the initial report in the emergency, we usually that come information from local authorities, such as park management or tourism center, and then escalate to Basarnas through the formal communication channel. And while our team is mobilizing, local authorities must often handle this initial response, including the conducting the basic certain rescue, providing the first aid if possible. Once our team is arrived, coordination continues on the front through the unified command structure. And all development update and outcome of the operation, all any information update, continuously we communicate with the public, also with the relevant authorities and Ministry of Tourism Authorities and other ministry. Thank you, Mr.
Okay, maybe Mr. Fajar would like to answer the same question also.
Yeah, of course, like Bli Kade, Pak Kade said that Basarnas that have the mandate to do the search and rescue activities in Indonesia, but both of us, Kemenpar and Basarnas, have their own SOP for emergencies. Ministry of Tourism have a regulation of Permen Parekraf or Peraturan Menteri Pariwisata dan Ekonomi Kreatif number 10 in year of 2019. It is a guidance. It is a guidance of tourism crisis management, involving destination crisis management and tourism industry resilience and crisis communication protocol. Of course, we are always in coordination collaboratively. So in the perspective of the emergency response, like Pak Kade said that Basarnas that has the mandate, but also according to the law of search and rescue that we have, Indonesia have, I mean, on the article number 45 and 46 state that any tourism destination or any tourism attraction that have the risk of safety should prepare for the human capital awareness, readiness, and preparedness to anticipate the risk of safety accident. So in this perspective, in this area, we in Ministry of Tourism do some of training, some of regulation as well to prepare the human capital from the perspective of tourism human capital. So we do regularly the training, for instance, for lifeguard or balawista. Basarnas also support us to do the training regularly, especially in beaches, in many water attraction destination in Indonesia. I think that's all.
Okay, so I'm going to ask about the international issue that is currently the tragedy that just happened not long ago. For the comment paragraph, do you provide guidance or safety briefings to international tourists before they start their adventure trips? And what is the knowledge that you might share to the international tourists if they want to visit Indonesia?
Yeah, we have the standard for mountaineering, for instance, for the mountaineering activities. So tourists receive information on risk, emergency contacts, and guidelines specific to destinations before starting their trips by a tour operator. So we have a standard, a working standard for tour operators, especially for a tracking officer, to do the standard and operating procedure. For examples, in Gunung Rinjani National Park, the Ministry of Forestry has a SOP for Rinjani hiking and trekking, including safety information, health screening, etc. And also, Ministry of Tourism released a do and don't guidance for especially foreign tourists for visiting a certain destination. We also urge tourists to check and get the information about the weather, because you know weather is important and critical aspect that tourists have to be put their attention to this. So BMKG, our government by BMKG already has the apps, has the information system, so everybody can check, can get the information from that before, and should be pay attention of it to before they do their trip.
Okay, thank you so much for the answer. Now, for Basarnas, when foreign nationals are involved, how do you coordinate with the embassies or families abroad? And how important is international trust, especially in this moment?
Okay, thank you. That's quite an interesting question. When a certain rescue operation involve foreign national, Basarnas follows a clear protocol in close coordination with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, MOFA, of the Republic of Indonesia. And then as soon as we verify the identity and the nationality of the individual involved, we notify the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to the our central coordination system. We have the SOP. The MOFA then contact the relevant embassy or consulate to formally inform inform them to facilitate and coordinate communication with the family on board. And meanwhile, Basarnas continues to conduct certain rescue effort, I've mentioned before, and we provide real-time update through the official channels to ensure that embassies and the families receive the accurate timely information. And for the urgent cases, such as when medical evacuation is needed, when the family must be involved in identification, we coordinate with the immigration authorities, local government. Also, we coordinate with the Ministry of Tourism to provide logistical or legal support. And we also adhere to international norms and standard regarding the to handling the foreign citizen in distress, ensuring the transparency, respect, and professionalism all the times. Mr. Ray.
Okay, I see. But is there a way for you, especially in the crucial and mission during your safe mission? Do you contact the ministry from foreign countries to get some information, especially the ministry from the country abroad before rescuing and telling that you are going to save the foreign citizens that are in need?
Yes, all communications are provided by Ministry of Foreign, like embassy will communicate with the mission report. We only update the information to Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and then Ministry of Foreign Affairs will coordinate with the nation have the people of the emergency once it communicate with the MOFA.
I see. So it's a two-way work between the Basarnas and also the Ministry of Pariwisata, as you can say that. And so, the final question for the both of you. What is your message to international travelers that if they want to travel Indonesia's wild beauty, especially those who are heading to the remote and natural sites of Indonesia? Maybe Fajar would answer first.
Okay, thank you. Mas Ray, so for the international tourists that are planning to explore Indonesia natural sites, I think we'd like to say that please explore Indonesia breathtaking nature with confidence, knowing your destination and prepare your physical condition as well as your competency, skill and knowledge regarding to the special activities you will do, and follow the safety guidelines. This is not, I mean, if you want to hiking a mountain, it is not like you walking on the mall. So you have to be prepared and prepare your physical, prepare your knowledge, your skill about the mountaineering, for instance. And of course, you have to be engaged with a trained local guides and immerse yourself in our rich landscape, knowing that we prioritize your safety and unforgettable experience. So enjoy and come to Indonesia. This is wonderful Indonesia.
Okay, for Mr. Gadek, what is your answer to this?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Ray, for the final statement. I think it's a lot like same with the Minister of Tourism. And I think Indonesia warmly welcome to international tourism to explore our breathtaking natural destination. From the volcanic landscape like Mount Rinjani, Mount Bromo, to the last rainforest. We have in Sumatra, Kalimantan, and also the pristine marine biodiversity of Raja Ampat, Wakatobi, and the cultural beauty of the Bali and Yogyakarta. It's a destination of a unique and unforgettable experience. My most important message to international tourism planning to explore in Indonesia natural site, it is prioritize safety and preparedness above all else. Please research your destination properly, understand the potential risks, and prepare adequate with the mentioned before, proper gear, physical fitness, and well-planned itinerary. Always inform park authorities of your local guide and about your plan. And the last is, never underestimate the power of the nature. And in the event of the emergency, remember in Indonesia, we have Basarnas, and our partner are always ready to assist. We are continuously improving our coordination and emergency response system, so that help can be dispatched quickly and efficiently as soon as possible. Your safety is our highest concern. With good preparation and responsible travel, we truly hope your journey in Indonesia will be safe, meaningful, and full of lasting memories. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Fajar Hutomo and Mr. Ikade Dedi Karyadi, for your services, especially for keeping the safety of Indonesian and foreign civilian safety during their visit to Indonesia. And I hope the best for the both of you, especially for the ministry and the Basarnas in their future endeavors. And thank you so much, Voice listener. As we've heard from both the Tourism Minister Advisor on Crisis Management and also the Search and Rescue Management Specialist at Basarnas, we've heard and think that adventuring is always about fun and games, but your safety is the number one priority. And always remember that the Indonesian will have support ready if you are needed, but in great adventures comes great responsibility also, not just in movies but in real life as well. And Voice listener, as Indonesia promotes responsible and sustainable tourism, safety becomes part of the experience, not just an afterthought. For visitors from around the world, today's dialogue offers peace of mind for those of you who wants to visit Indonesia, where it is supported by real people, real system, and real care from both the ministry and the Basarnas. We'll see you again next time in another episode of VR Talk. Thank you for listening. My name is Ray, and stay tuned with us and Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you, Mr. Ray. Thank you, Ajahn.
Thank you, Brikade.
Voice of Indonesia.
Ribuan hari aku menunggumu, jutaan lagu tercipta untukmu. Apakah kau akan terus begini? Masih adakah celah di hatimu yang masih bisa kutuk singgahi? Cobalah aku kapan engkau mau. Tahukah lagu yang kau suka? Tahukah bintang? rasa. Coba keluar di terik siang, ingatlah bintang yang kau sapa, maka kehangatan yang kau rasa. Tahukah lagu yang kau suka? Tahukah bintang yang kau sapa? Tahukah rumah yang kau tuju? Itu aku.
Is one of the legendary solo culinary delights because there are not many traders selling this culinary anymore. But you don't have to worry if you are already in Solo and want to taste this traditional culinary. Although it is a popular culinary delicacy in Solo, in certain places there are still traders selling this as gempol pleret, such as in the Gede Market, Lawayan Market, and in the Manahan Field. Call as gempol pleret is beverage because of its refreshing presentation, but there are also those who call it food because it is filling when enjoyed. The basic ingredients of this typical beverage are rice flour and glutinous rice flour. To make as gempol pleret, we have to soak rice flour first. Then it is shaped into small balls like meatballs and then steamed. Therefore, some people call gempol as rice meatball because it is round, made of rice, and its white color. According to the story, gempol comes from the word jempol because it uses the fingers. is also made from rice flour, which is made into dough and then formed into thin sheets resembling wonton. Afterwards, it is also steamed until cooked. Finally, for presentation, in a medium-sized bowl, the gempol pleret is added with coconut milk, which is made from thin coconut milk and sugar. You can add shaved ice or ice cubes that are broken into small pieces. As a variation, you can also add pieces of jackfruit or green sticky rice tape. For one bowl of es gempol pleret, you only need to pay 5,000 rupiahs. It is quite affordable, isn't it?
Ku tergoda.